Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 35 tonight and read down through verse 42 for our scripture reading. That's what the Bible says. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. I believe, again, we're here by divine appointment. We have something for every single one of us. So I pray tonight that we listen with our hearts, with our minds, with our souls, and that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they decide to receive him. I pray for all the Christians that are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that we could learn from an example of a man who used mightily, a man like many of us, strengths and weaknesses, but was used mightily in your kingdom. And I pray that we could take some examples from his life and apply them to our own. Bless the rest of the service. Help us uplift Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to use the last part of verse 42 where Jesus was speaking to Peter where he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. That's going to be our text verse tonight. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm going to speak on the subject, the man who became a rock. The man who became a rock. I also want to use the last part of that verse in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. We read two verses for our scripture reading this morning, Luke 22, 31 and 32. And that last part of verse 32, when Jesus was talking to Peter, when he said, And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, going back to John chapter 1, let me just tell you what was happening here. Andrew was Simon's brother. He had heard John the Baptist preach. He had heard John the Baptist talk about the kingdom of God. He had heard John the Baptist say that the kingdom of God was coming. He had heard John the Baptist say, make straight the ways, the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist had talked, had spoken and preached and taught about the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And the Bible here in John chapter 1 says that Andrew became one of John the Baptist's disciples. One of his disciples. He followed him. He hung around him. He learned from him. One day John the Baptist was standing, and two of his disciples, Andrew and Philip, were standing with him. And Jesus walked by. And I don't know if John lifted up his hand or if he just said it with his voice, but he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God. See, the Lamb of God. And the Bible says, as we read a moment ago, that these two disciples, Andrew and Philip, when they heard their teacher say, Behold the Lamb of God. Here's the one I've been talking about. Here's the one whose kingdom is coming. They followed him. Jesus was walking and they followed him. Now Jesus looked back and he saw them following him and he asked the question, What seek ye? What are you looking for? Now, by the way, I think Jesus asked it, and it's not my message tonight, but I'm just going to throw a couple of nuggets in along the way, okay? I think Jesus asked every single one of us that question in one way or another. What are you looking for? What are you seeking after? What do you want in your life? Now, he offers a way that gives us great blessings. He offers a way that gives us great hope. But we've got to come to the point where we want it and we're looking for it. So Jesus comes and he looks at each one of us and he asks us that question. What are you seeking? What are you looking for?
To Christ. Children ought to bring their parents to Christ if they don't know him. Grandparents ought to bring their grandchildren to Christ. Our responsibility is just like Andrew illustrated for us in this verse. He brought his brother to Jesus. And when he got there, Jesus said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah." That's who we are today. That's what you're about today. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. "Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a rock. A rock. It's not what you are today. It's not what you are right now. But thou shalt be called one day that's coming, one day in the future. Again, not right now. You're Simon, the son of Jonah now. But one day you will be called Cephas. One day you will be known, your life will be known as a rock. Now, here's the question. When did Simon become that rock? When did the old Simon pass away, Simon the son of Jonah, quit being Simon the son of Jonah and become Cephas the rock? When did that happen? It goes back to the same question I asked this morning. They were in the upper room, Jesus and his disciples. He just instituted the Lord's Supper, and he told Peter that Satan desires to have you to sift you, but he says, "I prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." And I ask you the question: you think Jesus was talking about when Peter got saved? I don't think so. I think Peter was already saved. I think Peter got saved in Luke chapter 5, the story that's told there. He and Andrew were in their boat. Their partners, James and John, were in their boat, and they'd been fishing all night, and they hadn't caught a single thing. And so they came in after fishing all night, catching nothing, and they were sitting by the shore, mending and washing their nets. Their boats were docked over a little bit of ways. And Peter noticed that there was a man that was walking along the beach, and there was a huge crowd following him. And he noticed that this man went over and got in his boat. Now, I don't know if he'd met Jesus or not at this particular time. I don't know. Maybe he had. Maybe he knew who he was. If he didn't know who he was, I can imagine what Peter thought. Can't you, Brother Leonard? What's this guy think he's doing? Getting in my boat. He ain't going to get away with this. But he went over, and I think he sort of already knew Jesus at that point. And Jesus said, "Peter, would you cast out a little bit? Would you cast your boat just a little bit away from the shore? The people are thronging me. I want to teach them, but they're pressing me. And I want to just get away from them a little bit so that I can teach them all." And Peter said, "Sure." And Jesus got in the boat, and they launched out a little bit from the shore. And Jesus sat and used Peter's boat as a pulpit. And he taught the people. And I think Peter was there. I don't know if he was sitting on the side of the boat or had a seat or if he stood all the time, but he had a front row seat and he hung on every word that Jesus taught. When Jesus got through teaching, he said, "Peter, launch out into the deep. Let's go fishing, man. Let's go catch some fish." And Peter said, "Lord, we've toiled all night. We've fished all night. We haven't caught a single solitary fish, but at your word, because you've told me to do it, we'll go out and we'll do it. Don't think it'll do any good. We don't catch much fish in the daytime. We usually fish at night. But since you've told me to do it, I'm going to believe your word. And we're going to go out and we're going to throw the nets over." And they went out and they threw the nets over. And the Bible says there were so many fish that got caught up in those nets that they began to break. And Peter stood up and said, "Hey, John! Hey, James! Come out here and help us!" And the Bible says their partners came out. And they began to get those fish into the boats. And the Bible says that those boats began to sink because they had so many fish in the boats. And the Bible says that when Peter saw that, he fell down on his knees before Jesus. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And Jesus said to them, "Don't worry about it, Peter. From now on, you're not going to fish for fish. You're going to fish for men." And when they got back to shore, the Bible says that they forsook all. They left their families, they left their business, and they followed Jesus. And I think that's when Peter got saved. I think he was just as much saved there on the Sea of Galilee
when he believed the word of Jesus, he acted on that word, and when he got back, he left all. He got saved. He became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus was talking to him in the upper room, when he was saying, Peter, Satan's going to, he's desired to have you. He wants to sift you, but I prayed for you. And when you are converted, strengthen the brother. And I think what Jesus was talking about was this. Peter, when you become that rock, when you become Cephas, when you're changed from Simon, the son of Jonah, to Cephas, the rock, then you strengthen the brother. I want to ask you tonight to just review with me real quickly the life of Peter. And I want to ask you the question. I want you to think with me, when was he changed? When was he converted? When did he become that rock? Peter had a lot of strengths. I think he was a natural leader. We can see that from some of the events. Wherever Peter went, the disciples went, even if it was to a bad place. I mean, after Jesus was crucified, before Peter understood what was going on, he said, I'm going fishing. And 8 of the other disciples went with him. He took initiative. I mean, when something got needed to be done, like, hey, somebody needs to go set up the upper room. Hey, Peter, you and John go do it. Hey, somebody needs to go get the donkey that I'm going to ride into Jerusalem. Hey, Peter, you go get the donkey. He took initiative. And I think he was courageous. Courageous. He had courage. Who was it in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Romans came to arrest him, pulled out his sword and said, come on, I'll take on the whole army. You're not going to get my Christ. It was Peter. He wasn't a very good swordsman. He was aiming for somebody to cut somebody's head off and he cut their ear off, but he had the courage to stand and fight. But he also had weaknesses. He was impulsive. He acted before he thought very much. He was inconsistent. I mean, he wasn't, one time you could tell where he stood and the next time you couldn't. And he had a lot of pride. I want you to think with me tonight. When was he converted? When did he become that rock that Jesus was talking about? Some might say, well, it was when he walked on water. When they were in that storm in the middle of the night, and the waves were high and the wind was blowing, and they saw Jesus coming to them walking on the water. And the Bible says they were sore afraid. They were all afraid. They didn't know if it was a spirit or a ghost. And Jesus said, hey, it's me. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. And Peter, in one of those impulsive acts, he said, Lord, if it really be you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, okay, come on. And Peter got down out of that boat in the middle of the storm. I mean, he wasn't walking on a glassy sea. He was walking on waves that were going up and down and the wind was blowing. And he slid out of that boat looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and he walked toward Jesus. But the Bible says that he got his eyes off of Jesus. And he began, well, let me stop for a second. Maybe that's when he was converted. I mean, when he had enough faith to know that Jesus was the master of the sea. When he had enough faith to know that Jesus could do the impossible. It wasn't possible for man to walk on top of the sea, let alone in a storm. That had never been done before. Peter had never seen it in all his days. And now here he was doing the same thing. Jesus had given him the power to walk on that water. He'd given him the power to, in the middle of that storm, in the waves and the wind, to do something that nobody had ever done before, to walk on the water. And Peter had put his faith in Jesus and said, man, Jesus gave me the power to do this. I'm doing something that's never been done before. I'm doing the impossible. We got a God that can do the impossible. And Peter realized that. Maybe that's when he was converted. Maybe that's when he became that rock that Jesus talked about. I don't think so. Because you see in the next few verses, it says that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He noticed the storm that was rolling all about him. He felt the wind blow. He felt the waves come crashing over him. And the Bible says that he began to sink and cried out to Jesus, "Oh Lord, save me. Save me." And the Bible says Jesus came over and lifted him up. He says, "Oh thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Didn't you see that I could do it? Didn't you see that I could give you the power to walk on water? Didn't you see that I could give you the ability to do something that nobody else had ever done before, to walk on water? Why did you doubt?" No, it wasn't Peter's works that changed him. It wasn't his walking on the water that converted him, that made him become that stone, that rock that Jesus was talking about. Hey, if it wasn't when he walked on water, maybe it was when he confessed Christ. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples? They'd just come out of Caesarea Philippi, and they were by themselves, and Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And so they began to say, "Well, some think you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some think you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the other prophets from the Old Testament." And Jesus said to him, "Well, who do you think that I am?" And I think it was one of those moments that it was just completely quiet until Peter stood and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, for man for flesh has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Maybe it was then that he was converted. Maybe it was then that he was changed. When he realized who Jesus really was. He wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a preacher. He wasn't just a person that by some mysterious way could work miracles and heal people and give the sight back to the blind and hearing back to the deaf and life back to the dead. I mean, this was the Son of God. This was the Messiah. This was the one that was told about and prophesied about in the Old Testament. This was the one that was going to come and sit on David's throne and rule. This was the Son of God. And when Peter realized that and he stood up among the other disciples, "You want to know who we think you are? We think you're the Christ. We think you're the Son of the living God." Maybe that's when he was converted. Maybe that's when he became that rock that Jesus talked about. I don't think so. Because just a few verses later, after Jesus had explained to his disciples what was going to happen, how he was going to go into Jerusalem, how he was going to be treated his own people, how he was going to be arrested, how he was going to be crucified, Peter stood up and said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Master, that's not going to happen to you. We're not going to allow it. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. None of these things that you're talking about, none of these things you're previewing for us, none of these things are going to happen. We will not allow it." And Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't love the things of God. You love the things of men." It wasn't Peter's knowledge of who Jesus was that converted him. It wasn't his knowledge that Jesus was the Son of God that made him and changed him into that rock that Jesus talked about. Well, if it wasn't when he walked on water, and it wasn't when he confessed Christ, maybe it was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he stood and tried to defend Jesus. Jesus had come there to pray after they left the upper room that we were talking about this morning. They'd gone into the garden. He'd left eight of the disciples in one place, and he said to his three closest disciples, James and John and Peter, I'd like you to go deeper into the garden with me, and we'll have a special time of prayer. And then he got them to a certain spot. He said, you three pray here. I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to pray. And the Bible says that Jesus went a little bit deeper into the garden and got down on his knees, and he prayed. And with so much agony as he prayed. Remember that the prayer he prayed? He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, but I want what you want. I want your will to be done. And as he prayed that, the Bible says that he sweat great drops of blood. He got back up and he went back to his three closest disciples, and they were asleep. He woke them up and he said, hey guys, can't you pray with me? I'm about to face the hardest test I've ever faced. I need your prayers. Can't you pray with me? And he went and left them alone again and went back and prayed a second time. And came back the second time and they were asleep again. He went the third time and the Bible says an angel came to him and ministered to him. He went back to Peter, James, and John and said, wake up, men, wake up. Those that are here to arrest me, they're here to arrest me. And Judas by that time had led a crowd of not only soldiers but a mob to arrest him. And he kissed him. Remember, Judas kissed Jesus. That was the sign that he'd given the soldiers. Whoever I kiss, that's the one. That's the master. That's who you need to arrest. And as that mob gathered around Jesus to take him, Peter said, over my dead body you're going to take him. You're not going to take my master. You're not going to take my Christ. And here was this old fisherman. Probably, I don't know if he'd ever used a sword before in his life. They only had two among the disciples, the Bible tells us. But Peter was the only one that drew one. He said, come on, I'll take the whole army on. I'll take this whole mob on. You're not going to get my Christ. You're not going to get my master. Maybe that's when he was converted. Maybe that's when he became a rock. When he was willing to stand against that mob and say, I will stand in defense of my teacher. I will stand in defense of my leader. I will stand in defense of my master. I will defend him with my life. You are not going to take him. Maybe that's when he was converted. I don't think so. Because a few verses later, we read as he stood around the fire, somebody asking him, weren't you one of his disciples? No! Never knew him. A few minutes later, somebody else, oh yeah, we saw you in the garden with him. You're one of his band of men. No, I'm not! A few minutes later, another person says to him, we know that you're one of his disciples because your language gives you away. And the Bible says that Peter cursed and said, I don't know him! The Bible says the cock crowed, and that thing that Jesus had told Peter said, before the cock crow in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny that you ever knew me. It wasn't when he walked on water that he was changed to a rock. It wasn't when he stood and confessed that Christ, that Jesus was the Christ, that he was converted. It wasn't in the Garden of Gethsemane when he pulled the sword and was ready to defend his Savior that he became that rock. I think Peter was converted in the story that we read in John chapter 21. As I mentioned a moment ago, it was after the crucifixion. Jesus had already appeared to the disciples one time, but they were still uncertain about what was going to happen. They didn't quite understand the plan yet. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. And I don't think it was a relaxing time that he was looking for. I mean, if you're going to go fishing to relax, you take a pole and some worms. You don't take your nets. When you take your nets, you're going fishing for a living. And that's what Peter was saying. I don't know what's happening. I'm going back to my old way of life. 8 of the other disciples went with him. They fished all night. Hadn't caught a single fish. In the morning, they noticed a man standing on the shore. He cried out, "Children, have ye any meat? Have you caught anything? You got any fish?" I don't know if it was Peter that answered or who it was, but they said, "No. We've been fishing all night, haven't caught a single thing." The man on the shore said, "Cast your net on the right side." And they pulled up their net and cast it on the right side. And the Bible says, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. They counted them a little bit later. There was 153 of them. And John looked over at Peter and said, "Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord." The Bible said Peter put his clothes on because he was naked, and he swam to shore to meet the other disciples there. He noticed that Jesus had a fire started on the shore, and Jesus said, "Hey, go get some of those fish you caught." So Peter went back out into the lake and helped the other disciples pull that net full of fish in, and they put them on the fire, and they ate together. And Jesus said, "Simon," he didn't call him Peter, he called him Simon. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, he wasn't just talking about, "You love me more than the other disciples." What he was saying, "Simon, son of Jonas, you love me more than this fishing business? You love me more than this way of life that you left 3.5 years ago? Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." A second time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And the Bible says that Peter was grieved in his heart because Jesus asked him the third time. I sort of think that he thought back to the 3 times that he denied him just a few days before. And he said, "Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Go feed my sheep. Go feed my sheep." I think that's the same thing that he was saying the first time he met Peter when he says, "You're going to become a rock." I think that's what he was talking about in the upper room when he said, "When you are converted, strengthen the brethren." And I think it was on that day by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus faced Peter and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter came face to face with the Master and said, "Yes, Master, I love you more than all this. And I realize that I can't do anything on my own. I'm a sinful man. I have no strength without you. I have no knowledge without you. I can't do anything without you." And I love you. I love you. And Jesus said, "Okay, Cephas. Okay, Rock. You go strengthen the brother. You go feed my sheep." And it's not until we come to the point in our life that we realize that we are nothing without Jesus. I mean, we can work for him like Peter did when he walked on the water. We can do things that that the world might think is impossible. We can know that he is the Christ. And we can stand before the world and defend him. And in all those, there was a part of Peter that was taking part. There was part of that old man that was saying to Peter, hey, look at what I'm doing. I'm walking on water. I'm doing something nobody else has ever done before. Hey, look at Peter. I'm the only disciple that's standing up and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, look at Peter. I'm the only one that's got my sword drawn, ready to defend my Savior. And all those are good things. And all of those are things that we should do. But until we get the old man out of it, until we get the old Peter out of it, until we get the old Simon, the son of Jonas, out of it, and be completely filled with a love for Christ and operate in His strength and operate in His knowledge and operate in His power, then we'll never be the rock that Jesus wants us to be. We'll never be able to feed His tonight, most of us are Christians. Most of us have had a time in our life where we've asked Jesus to be our Savior. The fact that you're here tonight means He's not done with you. He's got some sheep He wants you to feed. He wants you to be that rock. I mean, Peter wasn't much of a rock before this. He was too inconsistent. He kept going back and forth. He stood for Christ and then He denied Him. He walked on water, then He sunk. He confessed that He was the Son of God, and He said, oh no, you're not, all these things aren't going to come about here. The world's not going to come. But when He came to that place where He said, I'm nothing except for what Jesus is to me, then He became that rock. Jesus said, you'll become a rock. You'll be converted. Go strengthen the brother. And by the way, as I close, that's one of our responsibilities. Yeah, we're supposed to go out and tell the lost people about Jesus. We're supposed to go weeping, bearing precious seed, telling them about Christ. But we have a responsibility to each other, to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to feed each other. Let's do it. Let's do both. Let's do both. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for this wonderful example. Again, a man who was not perfect, a man who had faults, but a man used mightily of You because He gave Himself complete and wholly to You. And I pray tonight that we make that same decision, that we realize that we can operate with the old man, with the Simon, the son of Jonas. We have to get rid of that old man. We have to let the Holy Spirit come in and take control. And I pray tonight, Father, that every Christian that's here would just surrender themselves to You, that You have complete charge. I pray for that one or two that might be here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, that You would speak to them right now, that they would realize right now that they're a sinner, realize that Jesus paid the price for their sin, took their place. The only way that they can have their sins forgiven, the only way they can claim a home in heaven, comes by the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to heaven. And I pray tonight, Father, that You make that decision. Bless the invitation. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient as You speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray.